Amen, amen. Well, my sermon title today, I want to talk to you about being strong and courageous. About being strong and courageous. Now, let me tell you why this is so important and going to be such a timely message for you today. Here's why. Because people are looking at you. Family members are looking at you. I keep on hearing this in my spirit. Take the opportunity that this is and run with it. And in order to do that, people have got to see you and I as being strong. You and I not being fearful, not being afraid, not backing down. And so it's critical that in this time, if, listen to me, that's why I'm preaching this, if we will be strong and courageous, we will see great advantage or advancement in the kingdom of God. And so I just want to remind you, I don't think that I'm going to really say anything today that you're going to say, wow, I've never heard that. Maybe a little something. But most of my points are points that you already know. But most of my points are points, I'd say all of my points are points that, you know what, I'm going to, you know, today I'm gonna pump you up. I'm gonna, just like that tire, man, I'm going to pump up that tire. And when those tires get pumped up, you're going to be able to ride like you haven't ridden before. You're going to be able, and that's one of the huge advantages to church is you hear the word of God, it encourages you, it reminds you of what the truth is. And so that's what I want to do, because in this time, we need to stay strong. Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? We got to stay strong. Come on, say, come on. We got to stay strong. No, really, man. We got to stay strong. And so I want to teach this to you. But I want to remind you this. How many recognize we're in a different time? We are in a different season. And it's so important that we recognize that season. We are in a different time. And God is completely, listen to this, God is completely able to keep us safe and even bless us in this time. But I do believe that there is a stepping up that God has for us that will propel us into a new level of ministry and blessing. But we must do it and respond and recognize that it's up to us to step up. I believe that Jesus corrects. Remember when Jesus corrected his disciples in the middle of that storm? It's they think they're going to die. You know what? The Bible says it was a mega storm. It was a huge storm. The boat is taking so much water. They think they're going to drown. They go to Jesus is sleeping. They get him up. He speaks to the wind. But it's so important because after he speaks to the wind and the whole thing just goes from crazy mega storm to, you know what, a complete calm, Jesus wants to talk to the apostles. And he wants to remind them, hey guys, don't forget to put your trust in me. And he even questions them and he says, where was your faith? How come you didn't trust me in the first place? I don't understand. How come you're acting like this? You know, somebody at home, is God saying that to you? I don't understand. It's not like I haven't delivered you out of trial after trial after trial after trial before, have I not? You know, why do we think that God, you know, God is the same. How is he? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you've allowed, you know what, fear to grip you, and for you to start thinking that the days ahead are not going to be better than the days behind, you know what, you need to change your thinking. I'm going to help you change your thinking today. Because we need to, but watch this. Jesus is going to correct them. Why? Here's why. Because he knows that there's a time that he's not going to be with them in the storm. The Bible says, the Bible's clear. Jesus taught, the storms are going to come in life. The question isn't, are the storms going to come or are they not going to come? Jesus said they're going to come. The question is, will you build your house on the rock? And if you will build your house on the rock, then when the storms come, you know what? You'll be safe. You'll be secure. You'll be in your house, you know what, at the fireplace, you know, drinking hot chocolate. Amen. Amen. And so watch this. He corrects them because he knows, listen to me, here's my message. We have to step it up. We must step it up. And what I want to preach to you today is that the stepping up isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing. Recognize that there's change that is taking place. That's what Jesus is recognizing. Prophetically, he knows there's going to be a time, listen to me, there's going to be a time when he's not around. And he recognizes it's going to be up to the apostles to spread the gospel and complete what he started. To preach the gospel to all creation. To go from where they were to outside, you know, Jerusalem into other parts of the world. And it wasn't going to be Jesus who did it. It was going to be them. And so what he's recognizing is, hey, you can't just let this go. You can't just not confront. You've got to prepare these people for the change that is going to take place. That's why I'm preaching, you be strong and courageous, because there is change. We are living in a different world, a different time. But instead of the Christians backing up and retreating and seeing, there's like, oh, what are we going to do? No, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to step up to the plate. We're going to hit the ball out of the park. That's what we're going to do. We're going to see the advantage that we have. I heard a great testimony this morning. See, there's opportunity all around us. Oh, let me go back to what Jesus is going to leave. Even Jesus said, it's good that I go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you. It's going to be a new time. I'm not going to be here. But it's going to be a better time in that now the Holy Spirit is going to fill you guys up and you can walk in a supernatural anointing to go and take care of and show people the power that I have. That's our opportunity today. Heard a testimony this morning. A Christian lady, she's a nurse, she's working in the hospital. They have some kind of a staff meeting with other nurses. And she asks if she can sing a blessing. She sings a blessing over all these nurses and other staff members. She is sensitive to recognize that these co-workers are depressed, they're scared, they're just all kinds of emotions are going on. And she recognizes that, and you know what she does? She steps up to the plate. She recognizes it's not the same. Hey, Christians, it's not the same. You know, I look at pictures. I was looking, you know, through my phone at some of the pictures of of the outdoor project. And let me tell you what, guys, the outdoor project, it looks amazing. Wait till you come back. You're going to come back and say, oh my goodness, God is good. They just poured the concrete, the smooth concrete and the stamped concrete. It is amazing. It is amazing. But I was looking at some of the pictures, and you know what? I mean, just recently, just like 6 weeks ago, we were out there. We had a bust the concrete day, and there was about 20 of us guys, and I said, hey, get all together. We're going to take a picture. I was looking at that picture, just laughing, thinking, man, where is the social distancing in this picture? Well, this was before the social distancing even was, you know what, wasn't even in play at that point in time. And I recognized, listen to me, we're in a different situation. This young lady recognized she was in a different situation, recognized the fear that was around her, but watch this. It's not just recognizing, oh man, it's not the same, this is so bad. It's recognizing the opportunity to minister that you might not, she might not have had that opportunity to minister. Listen to me. 2 months ago, she might have asked her supervisors, hey, can I sing a blessing in the staff meeting? That was said, hey, are you crazy? Get out. You sit down. You ain't singing no blessing. You know what I mean? But guess what? They were open to it. After she got done, one of her supervisors was so impressed, she takes her into a bunch of the big wigs at the hospital. We're having a meeting. She takes them into the meeting and asks her to sing the same blessing over these people. She sang that blessing. They were so touched and so moved and recognized. Listen to me. When people are at the end of themselves, they'll look up and start to put their trust in God. See, we have gotten so arrogant. That's what I'm saying. Guys, recognize something changed. We have gotten so arrogant and so, we don't even think we need God. We're so arrogant to think there is no God. No, there is a God. There is a God. And these people that months ago might have said, no way, sit down. You can't do that. This is a hospital. You know what I mean? We run on a scientific level. Hallelujah. Well, they wouldn't say that. But you know what I'm saying? Just, oh, no, that spiritual stuff, that's, you know what, just for weak people. Well, praise the Lord. How many know she's got some opportunity? She goes in. Her supervisor pulls her in. Now she's speaking to or singing to a bunch of the big wigs. And that's a funny word, huh, big wigs. Anyway, they say this. They say, hey, we don't want you taking temperatures today. We don't want you, you know, all the nurse stuff that you do, we don't want you doing any of that today. Here's what we want you to do for the next 2 days. We want you to go around the hospital and just sing that blessing to everywhere you go. She was in the hallways. She was in the cafeteria. She was all over that hospital singing the praise of God and singing blessings over people. See, can we recognize where we're at? Turn with me to Acts chapter. Actually, guys in the back, before you go to Acts, let's skip that. We'll come back to that. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. I'm, of course, reading out of the New King James. But here's what the Bible says. Paul says this, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, and we're not destroyed. Now, here's what I want to catch, and here's how I broke it down. Here's what Paul says. He says this. This is the condition that they're in, according to these two verses. We're hard-pressed on every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted, and we're struck down. That's the state of affairs. But here's what I want you all to notice, what Paul says. We're not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not abandoned, and we're not destroyed. Will you tell me somebody in the midst of being hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, in the midst of that, they're not crushed, they're not in despair, they're not abandoned, and they're not destroyed. Who is that? Let me tell you who that is. That's somebody who's victorious. That's who that is. See, you tell me if you're hard-pressed on every side, but you're not crushed, what are you? I'll tell you what you are. You're one bad dude. That's who you are. Do you understand? Why are they not perplexed? Or when he says, when we're perplexed, why are they not in despair? Here's why. Because they might not know the answer right then, but they know the person who knows the answer. Do you understand? They're not in despair. Listen, they are persecuted. They're persecuted. But they're not abandoned. They got people against them. But God hasn't abandoned them. Well, who is that? That's somebody who says, if God is for me, who can be against me? What do I sweat the enemy for? Do you understand this? See, sometimes we get such a perplexed understanding and misunderstanding of who we are and what God has given us. You say, oh, well, look at David. He was so small and he only had a rock and a slingshot. Do you know that rock coming out of his slingshot at the velocity that it came out of the slingshot to Goliath was just like David pulling out, or much like David pulling out a gun and just shooting Goliath right in the head? See, we're like, oh, little David. Yeah, well, little David, you know what, was about to jack up his enemy. Amen? Do you understand this? And then finally he says, you know what, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know? Like what my dad said, you know what? He used to say, you know what? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You know what I'm saying? All right. Now let's turn back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I want to show you this. I want to read this a portion here, but I want you to catch. I want you to tell where I'm going. This is when Paul, he was Saul, but he encounters God, and he's changed radically. That's not the main point that I want to make. The main point I want to make is the guy who ministers to Paul, or the guy who ministers to Saul. This guy is going to lay hands on him. He's going to, the scales are going to come off his eyes. You know what? And here's what I want you to catch. I want you to catch the supernatural ministry that takes place between this man and the Holy Spirit. Watch this. One more thing. Somebody say detail. See, here's what I'm telling you what. We have opportunity. But this opportunity that is coming to us is going to take a responsibility for us to move into a higher dimension of dependency on the Holy Spirit than we've ever had before. All right, now let me, I set that up. Now let me read the story. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city. This is Paul. He's like, okay, I'm not sure. What do you want me to do? I love his willingness to serve at this point. How many know you can be corrected by God? But you know what? For you to respond and say, God, that's me. That's a different subject. You know what? A lot of people are corrected by God, and they're too arrogant to receive what God has for them. Yeah. No, don't tell me. I know I'm not, you know, you continue to treat your wife like you're treating her, and God has given you the correction and said, hey, knock it off. But you're too full of pride to change. Amen. It's not a good thing. You know what? You're too selfish to start to be generous. You know what? And you're thinking that God doesn't. No, listen. Humble out and recognize God's ways are higher than your ways. There was a time, we might get into this today if we have enough time. But the first city that Joshua went into, you know what? God tells him, here's how you're going to defeat this city. You're going to march around it 7 times. How many know that doesn't sound like a good plan? How many know, listen, there's, that's when I'm preaching. Guys, there is a metrics that God has for us that if we'll step into that metrics, if we'll start to listen to the Spirit of God, if we'll do what God asks us to do, then there will be this whole abundance of ministry and blessing. Like this nurse. You know, I'm telling you, you think Satan wasn't telling her, they ain't gonna let you sing. They're gonna look at you as some kind of religious nut. Sit down, and you know, because that's what God, Satan wants to do. He wants to shut you up. And now is the time to be bold. The Spirit of God inside you is a bold spirit. So the Bible says, not a spirit of fear. Amen. So praise God. Saul's like, man, I got to get it together. Why? Because he's recognizing, you know what? He's humbling out to the correction of God. But watch this. Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Hey, how many know the supernatural will trip you out sometimes, man? They're like, what is going on here? Amen. Next verse. Okay, so Saul arose from the ground. Saul's on the ground. He gets off the wall. And when his eyes were opened, watch this, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. He's the one I want to talk about. Listen. And to him, the Lord said in a vision. How many know God speaks in all different ways? Listen. Be careful that you don't just, I'm talking Christian people now. Be careful that you don't get too big for your own britches. There are a lot of Christians. And you are close-minded to the things of the Spirit. And you think you are intellectual. You think you're the wacky ones. You know, I heard somebody recently, and he was just criticizing things of the Spirit. Now, am I saying that everything that anybody says is of God is of God? No, I know there's a lot of phony baloney out there. But this guy was being critical. They had gone in to a youth worship event. And I forgot what they were singing. You know what? Lord, let your fire fall. Lord, let your fire fall. Lord, let your fire fall. And they just kept on singing that over and over again. Well, these people were counting how many times they said that. And after, they were mocking it. I thought, oh my goodness. You know what? A whole auditorium filled with youth asking the Holy Spirit to light that place up. And they are mocking it like this isn't wisdom. I thought, oh my goodness. Really, God help us when we think when we get so intellectual that we're ready to throw the things of the Spirit out. God, help us never to be so smart that we don't allow the Spirit to move the way He wants to move. Amen. Now, there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. See, he's open. He's not thinking, oh, that's probably me. And sometimes it can be us. But we've got to be open to the things of the Spirit. Next verse. So the Lord said to him, arise and go. Now here's what I want you to catch. Catch the detail. Look at your neighbor, say detail. Look at the detail in which the Holy Spirit is going to minister. A new time. Jesus isn't around. He sent his Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of new Christians that are filled with the Spirit. And Ananias is one of them. Arise and go to the street called Straight. Look how specific. He's telling him exactly what the street is called. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. How many know God knows everything? But if we will be open-minded to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to give us direction. To give us direction. How many know God ought to be able to give you direction? Amen? And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming to him. Notice how God's orchestrating. He's not only speaking to Ananias in a vision, but he's also speaking to Saul in a vision, telling him, hey, there's this guy. And notice, he even tells him his name. He's coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Next verse. And Ananias answered. Notice Ananias' answer. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. How many know sometimes God will tell us things that will scare us, and we're thinking, well, what? Oh, but you know what? Maybe this nurse. But God, if I do that, you know what? They're going to slap me down. Maybe they've done that before. Maybe they've been not open to the things of God. Remember when I was bold before and I tried and they slapped me down? Well, that's what, and she could come up with all kinds of excuses. And that's what Ananias is like, hey, can I tell you what? Be real with God. Amen. Don't be phony with God. And so Ananias is like, hey, I'm not sure about all that. You know, this guy is, like, so funny. We're so silly sometimes in our arguments with God. Like God, let me tell you about Saul. Because apparently you don't know about Saul, but all I do is I'm going to tell you about Saul. I mean, no, God knows your excuses before you come up with them. And Ananias answers, Lord, I have heard. You see his excuse? Next verse. Watch this. And there he there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name. He's saying, look, not only does he do this, he has the authority to do this. But the Lord said to him, somebody say, God's not changing his mind. See, who's going to, you know who ought to change their mind? You ought to change your mind, amen. Come on, mama, you ought to change your mind about how to treat your husband. Amen. Hey, Papa, You ought to change your mind how to treat your wife. Amen? Hey, kids, you ought to change your mind. You know what? I mean, not only clean up your room, but do it with a good attitude. Amen? But Pastor, you don't know my parents. No, God does know your parents. And God knew who Saul was. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name, watch this, before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I know what's going on. I know what I want you to do. That's what God's saying to us. I know what I want you to do. But Pastor, if I give that amount, you blah, blah, blah. No, I know what I want you to do. I know how generous I want you to be. I know how forgiving I want you to be. I know how loving I want you to be. Don't argue with me. I know. Can I tell you what? Whenever God asks us to do something, it's because he wants to bless you. Now, he wants to bless others too. But don't be deceived. You won't be mocked. God won't be mocked. You cannot sow and not reap. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my sake. I understand his calling. Watch this. And Ananias, oh, here's a beautiful part, right? And Ananias went his way and entered the house. See, sometimes courageousness isn't a lack of fear. Many times, to be courageous is to still feel that fear emotion and say, I'm not going to allow my emotions to dictate to me what I'm going to do. Amen? Amen. See, we have emotions, but our emotions shouldn't dictate how our actions. The words of God ought to dictate our actions. We ought to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it no matter, you know what, how I feel. I'm going to do it not because I feel like doing it. That's a huge problem in our society. We only do what we feel like doing. What a carnal level to live at, that you're only going to do what you feel like doing. Wow. And yet that's what's been preached, you know what, to so many people in this, you know what, the Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. They only do what they feel like doing. Oh God, help us. Help us never to just do what we feel like doing. Help us to do what you tell us to do. Help us not to be run by our feelings. So Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, see, he's not an adversary. He's his brother. Why? Because God said, no, man, this guy's called to God. Amen. So, hey, somebody that you won't forgive, God could have crazy plans for them. Don't see them as your adversary. See them as a brother or sister in the Lord. Paul says, we don't look at people from the flesh anymore. Right. Brother Saul, the Lord saw the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road. You know what? Go back. I didn't finish. On the road, as he came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, how many know we hear a lot about the Apostle Paul, do we not? I mean, no, we don't hear a lot about Ananias. But look at the role he played. Why? Because he was obedient to do what God asked him to do. Now, I said all that to point out, the main point I wanted to point out to you is this. Notice how specific God was to Ananias in telling him exactly what to do, exactly where to go. You know what? Gave him a lot of details. See, here's what I believe, guys. I believe in the middle of this pandemic that there is a stepping up that Christians need to step up and become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than they have ever. Now, let me say this. This doesn't come by accident. It comes by purposefulness. Oh, write that down. This doesn't come by accident. It comes by purposefulness. It comes by choice. It comes by you saying, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray in the Spirit for an hour tomorrow morning. How many know some of you have some more time on your hands? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And what I'm saying is, maybe for others, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to stop what we just talked about, allowing your emotions to dictate you, but you need to allow the Holy Spirit to dictate you. See, what is that? It's a stepping up. Maybe you need to be more forgiving than you've ever been before. Maybe there's, in so many Christians' lives, listen to me, the one thing that hinders them, you know what is, excuse me, you know what is one of the things, ah, that's so good. You know, one of the things that hinders Christians more than anything else, you know what it is? A unwillingness to forgive other people. I'm telling you what, it in the spiritual realm, it will trip you up all the time. You've got to just be like Jesus and forgive people. So whatever that means. But can I tell you what I sense? Let me tell you what I sense. I sense that predominantly for our church, the stepping up that we need to do is a stepping up in prayer. That we need to take chunks of time out of our life and dedicate them to spending time with God. See, purposefulness. Look at your neighbor, say purposefulness. You know, you look at somebody like Mike Trout, who is the most phenomenal baseball player right now on the planet. He is, and you know what? By anybody's account, you know, a lot of times there's arguments in sports, oh, who's the best? Listen, you talk to anybody in baseball, they'll tell you, Mike Trout is the best baseball player. You know, hey, Dodger fans, don't get mad at me, I'm just saying. But they just, he's just the best baseball player, you know what, in the world. Now, is that God-given? Absolutely. You know what? It's God-given. But here's what I want to say. But how many hours did he spend growing up, you know what, in the batting cages? Do you understand? How many hours of baseball instruction did he get with hitting coaches? And watch it. If you talk to him, he's still not done. He is still spending hours, big chunks of time in his life, developing what God has given him, watch this, for the opportunity that he has. Now, I don't want to get to the end of my life and sit before God and him show me a vision of what I could have accomplished for him. I don't want to be that way. I don't want you to be that way. I've said this before, Hope Family. You're as called to this church as I'm as called to this church. If you're supposed to be in the nursery, get in the nursery, amen. Because run there, get there, serve. Do something. You know what I mean? If you're supposed to be out helping us, you know what, park cars, then get out there, amen. And watch this, and take your anointing to the nursery. Take your anointing to the parking lot. You know what? Take your anointing to the sound room. Well, there are so many things that we need, you know what, that need to be done. Pastor, who's parking cars right now? Well, I got that. Hey, I get that. Nobody right now. Nobody's watching kids right now. I get that. But if God has put that, you know what? Here's what I'm saying. there's opportunity that we have. And for us, we've got to spend time on our knees preparing for what God is going to do in our lives. Preparing ourselves spiritually that we could. I did a whole series on frequency where I taught how to get in tune with God. Because God's frequency, listen, Christians, we need to get on God's frequency. Here's what the Bible says. Draw close to God. Watch it. Draw close to God. And what happens? He'll draw close to you. Do you see the purposefulness? And do you see the initiative? See, you draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. I mean, God wants to draw close to you, but he won't force you. If you're too busy hugging your pillow to spend time with God, then God just says, okay. If you're too busy watching TV, you know what? Then he's like, listen. You know, what do you think he's going to do? Turn the TV off and you know what? And, you know, God is right there for you. You turn the TV off. Amen. You turn the TV off. You get your you get yourself up. Amen. And spend time with God. You become purposeful for the things of God. Amen. We see this in the Apostle Paul's life. He is going to do crazy, radical things for God. We read it just this week. He says that God has opened the door for me in many areas, and yet there's many adversaries. See, listen, I'm not saying that the opportunities are not going to take boldness on your part. I'm saying just the opposite. I'm saying, you know what? We still have an adversary. We still have great people against us. But what I'm saying is, look around at the opportunity that you have. And step up to the plate and do whatever it takes to position yourself in a place where you are hearing from God, that you can do, get the counsel of God, that you're hearing from God, and you're hearing from God, and he's saying, here's what I want you to do, but you have put yourself in position to hear from God. Because I'm convinced that there are so many people that just have, you know what, have you seen this happen? You know what, you're talking to somebody, you're like, hey, blah, 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 and they're not hearing you. They're not hearing anything you say. Why? Because they got these little things in their ears. They're called earbuds. You know what I mean? And they're not paying any attention to you. How many know, listen to me, church family, how many know that's what we can do to God sometimes? It's not that he's not speaking to us. It's not that he doesn't want to draw close to us. It's not that he doesn't want to reveal his will to us. Well, listen to me. It's not that he doesn't want us to minister to our friends and family all around us. But here's the thought. Will you take those earbuds out that you can listen to somebody? This happens to me all the time. They'll see me, and then they'll be gracious, and they'll take their earbuds out, and they'll say, yes, Pastor, what do you want? Can we take our earbuds out and allow God to speak and minister to us? You know what? Pastor Joel is doing such phenomenal work. He's calling people to do a podcast. You know what? Go to our website and listen to some of the podcasts. You're going to be so blessed. You know what? Turn I Love Lucy off and, you know what, and listen to these podcasts. They're so good. You know what? But I heard Candace the other day. She gave a testimony, and she felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her to call one of her overseers, and minister to her in a certain way. And I forget the details as far as what it was to speak to her. You know what? I think it was just I don't know what it was, but that's not the point. Here's the point. She felt like, oh, you know, she felt like, Candace felt like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. It'll be better tomorrow. How many of the Holy Spirit is smarter than us? If it would have been better tomorrow, watch this, this is so deep. If it would have been better tomorrow, the Holy Spirit would have said, hey, Candace, do it, it's deep, tomorrow. And she overrode anything that was having her think, no, I'm not going to do it. And she called her on the phone, and she ministered to her. And Candace's testimony was, man, her overseer was just like, thank you so much. I needed this. See, here's my question. Will we be open to the things of God in this mess that we will prepare ourselves to be able to minister to people? Can we hear God when he says, I want you to go to Straight Street? Can we hear God? Will we take advantage of this opportunity? Because I believe this is a great opportunity for us. And what I want to do is I want to step up to the plate and be obedient to what God asked me to do. That we just have great, and I'm talking about, I said this recently, but I'm going to say it again. And listen, you who've only been saved for 6 months, listen to me. You who've been saved for 10 years, but you've never stepped into the authority that you have because you've allowed other people to tell you, you know what, well, you can't ever do that. You know what, you stutter, you have a lisp. You know what, you weigh too much, you're too skinny. You know what, you're too, whatever the two is. Because Satan, he's just trying to shut you up. Satan wants to do everything he can because he's freaked out that you're going to be obedient to God and be used mightily for the kingdom of God. Listen to me, church. There's not one of you, listen to me, grandma, you know, who thinks you're too old to be moved mightily. You know who is one of the persons used in this church to minister to me as much as anybody in the whole church? Hazel. She comes up to me after I'm done preaching, and she's like, she's so funny. She comes up to me out there, I'm done preaching, and she's like, you are the most incredible pastor. I can't even believe it. And you know what she's doing? From the heart, the mouth speaks. She's just telling me what her heart is. Now, if you think that your pastor doesn't get discouraged, you know what? I've got opportunity to get discouraged all the time. I've got opportunity to be discouraged all the time. And somebody like Hazel could just say what she needs to say, being led of the Spirit, and just completely, you know what? Remind me that Satan's a liar. And the anointing that God has put on my life to do crazy radical things. Listen, I don't want to be insignificant in building the kingdom of God. I believe that, you know what, I believe that we will have a mighty move of God in this church that will crazily, not a word, but it is a word today, crazily affect our community. And we will see so many people come to the Lord. Those of you who've given to the Outdoor Project, think, well, all I did was give $1,000. All I did was give $100. All I did was, and let me stop right there and say this, because I've been waiting for the right opportunity, and I believe the Holy Spirit is saying it's now. But, and I'm not, listen, I know I could be misunderstood, But I gotta be bold and say what God is telling me to say. Amen. There is $1,200 given to every single adult, every single U.S. citizen, you know what, in America, and you either have it or it's coming your way. And I would say, you know what, for certainly, I would boldly say, you know what, make sure you're tithing on that money. But I would go a step farther and say, why don't you do this? Why don't you spend, you know what, a little time and pray and see if God would have you give a gift, you know what, along with that tithe. You say, oh, pastor, that's so, listen, you can think whatever you want about me. But I'm going to be bold and say, no, you don't understand the opportunity we have. You know what? How many know we're praying, oh, God, I pray that this outdoor project would be fully funded and completely out of debt. Well, could it be maybe God wants to use you to be part of that? Maybe this is a great opportunity that we could come together and just absolutely just annihilate a whole portion or all of that portion. Amen. You know, oh, pastor, now you're getting a little too, well, so be it. Amen. That's a pastor you have, and that's a pastor that, you know what, you're going to continue to have. Because I got no problem telling people of God to give to the ministry because it's so vital. And I don't believe that's a negative thing. You can take it as a negative thing, but I don't believe it's a negative thing. But could God use you in a mighty way? I'm telling you, listen to me. God wants to use. Oh yeah, the prophetic that God spoke to me. I said this recently, but in the prophetic that God spoke to me, this is probably 5 years ago he spoke this word to me. And I'll never forget it. He said, you know what? I'm going to use regular Joes in a mighty way. Oh, let's close with this. This is such a great passage. Go back to that passage, guys, in the back in Acts. In 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, no, 8, or chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And I'll read this, and I want you to catch this. Paul says this, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're complexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Now, there's some passages in the Word that are powerful. But when you put those passages in content, they become more powerful. Does this make sense? You know what? You see somebody with a nice, a nice looking Mustang. And it's got aluminum wheels. It's got a nice paint job. You know what? It's got a nice interior. It's got a nice sound system. And you're like, man, this is a nice car. But when you get in the car and turn the engine on and step on the gas, you think, man, and that thing just, you know, you can smoke the tires. You think, man, this is a really nice car. Do you understand? It was nice before you drove it, but when you drove it, it became really nice. That's this passage. This passage is a crazy radical passage. But I'm going to make it more radical for you today. Because I'm going to show you what it says above. Before he says this, I'm going to show you what it says above it. Are you ready? Yeah. Come on, mamas. I hope you got your slippers on tight. Ready? Okay? Ready for this? Okay? Let me set it up again. Go back. Go to just verse 8. Just go to verse 8. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Now go to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul's saying, we got something inside of us our flesh is jacked up, but we got something inside of us that the excellence of the power of God, the power may be of God, not in us. Let me say it again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, that lady, that nurse that is blessing all these people, and there's depression and perplexity and all this malaise on them, and she is singing a blessing. Let me tell you what's going on. People are recognizing, this is spiritual. People are recognizing that it's something way more than her. You know, she's not going around singing, you know what, the sun will come out tomorrow. Let bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be so. She ain't doing that. They're not looking at her and saying, what a beautiful voice. Your voice ministered to me so much. It's way more than that. It is something going on. She's ministering, but something's going on inside that they're recognizing. Wow, I don't know all about that on the outside, but something is powerful. Something is big. There's an anointing. They recognize this with the apostles. They said, man, these guys, they're uneducated. You know what? And yet we recognize, watch this, that they've been with Jesus. They saw it in Jesus. They scratched their head and said, I don't want to understand this. You know what? This is perplexing. This is just the carpenter's son. We know Mary. We know his brothers and sisters. We went to Pioneer High School with this guy. We went to El Rancho with this guy. That's what they're going to say about you. They're going to say, oh, we don't understand it. I don't understand. You know, George is flowing in such a supernatural power. You know what? I remember what a goofball he was at El Rancho. Don't get mad at me, Joanne. Do you understand what I'm saying? They'll recognize it in you. What's going on? It's not about you. It's that if you will be sensitive to Holy Spirit, you can step into a ministry that you're ministering not by your own authority, but by the authority, the excellence. I love this. The excellence of the power may be of God and not in us. Paul's, and then he says, let me tell you why we're hard pressed on every side, but let me tell you why we're not crushed. We're not crushed because there's something inside of us. That's what's going on. Let me tell you why we're not sure what's going on. We're perplexed, but you know what? We're not in despair. You know why? Because we're not going to be in despair. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we're going to figure it out. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to figure it out. And he lives inside of us. Let me tell you why we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Because there's a power that lives inside of us. You know, at one point in time, they stoned Paul so bad that they left him there. They thought he was dead. And depending on who you read, many people, because it's not really clear in the Word of God, but there's many people who believe he was dead. And God raised him up for the dead. And you know what he did? You know what he did? He goes back in to the town and he starts preaching again. Why? Because it's not about him. Can we recognize the opportunity? Can we recognize the stage we're in? That God wants to use you? Yeah, Pastor, you guys going to grow the church? And No. Listen, we are all responsible for what God wants to do in our lives. We are all responsible for the cities that we live in and for the communities that we minister. You are ministers. We're all ministers. You know, Mr. Plumber, you know what, Mr. Electrician, you know what, Mr. School Teacher, you know what, Mrs. Whoever, we're all called to minister. But what do we need to do? We need to tap into the power of God that lives inside of us and start to allow God to speak to us and through us. Amen. Well, I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. So you know when I'll see you. I'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And we're going to open up the Word, and just for 20, 25 minutes, you know what? Can I tell you what? I don't like doing our 10 o'clock broadcast. I love doing our 10 o'clock broadcast. You can ask my wife. I get up in the morning, I can hardly wait. And the fact that you invite me into your homes to be able to open up the Word of God, it's such a blessing. So I look forward to that. I look forward to you right now. You know what? So many of you have so many friends and family, and Spanish is their first language. They are looking for a good Spanish-speaking church. We have it. We have it right here. And Pastor George and Pastor Lydia are going to minister, you know what, tonight at 6 o'clock. Get them, share with them. It's our responsibility, you know what, to watch this thing grow and explode. You know what? Share with moms and dads, you know what, who are, you know what, don't know what to do with their kids. Their kids are bouncing off the walls. Share with them the ministry that we have, the content that we have now on the internet. You know what, of Luigi and Chef Bonds and all these different characters that are godly characters and funny and great, that's all available to us. And Tamara and I, again, want to ask you and thank you, you know what, for your prayers. We started something this week, felt by the Holy Spirit. You know what, some of you might not even know this, but after I get done I get done about 10:30, I've asked you to not get up, but you stay right where you are, and for 10 minutes, I want you to pray for Tamara and I and the leadership of Hope and the whole Hope family. Just spend 10 minutes and watch what will happen to our church. I believe that God is going to change our church in a supernatural way. I want to get down on my knees because I want you to understand my passion for you as your pastor. And I want to pray with you, but I want to pray on my knees. Father, I thank you for these people that have listened today. I thank you that the Word has encouraged them today, challenged them, but encouraged them today. I pray that they will never be the same because of this Word that was delivered to them today. I thank you that it will make a drastic change in their life. I thank you that there's people who aren't even in the whole family that heard this broadcast, and they're going to start to come to this church. They're going to allow me to be their pastor, and they're going to grow radically. And I thank you for all this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, on my knees, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Just say it right after me. Jesus, come into my heart. I want to make you my Lord. I'm tired of running my life by myself. I need you. Come into my heart right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we believe if you said that prayer, you got born again. Find a good, or I ask you, you know what, to make Hope your church. I want to be your pastor. And give me a year. I promise I will teach the uncompromised Word of God every Sunday and every Wednesday. And now, every weekday. So, Tap into this. He said, Pastor, it's hard. I can't go out. Well, just, you know what? Open up. Recognize. Listen to me. There are people in prison that are more free in the things of God. They feel more free than they were when they were out. Because they're free from the wages of sin and death. They're free from the bondage of sin. Listen, you can have a party right there where you are. You and Jesus. Recognize the opportunity you have. And let's seize that moment. Well, Tamara and I, again, just want to thank you for tapping in. You know what? May you have a great week. Hey, can I pray a blessing over you? I ain't going to sing a blessing over you. Actually, maybe I will. But right now, I just want to pray a blessing over you. Father, I call these people blessed. I call them, Father, the head and not the tail. I thank you for healing. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thank you that those who are sick, Father, I speak a healing in their life. I thank you that we will depend upon the stripes of Jesus Christ. You know what? To absolutely supernaturally heal us. And Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In his precious name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.